Brownie points to the people in the front. I do love a little bit of interaction. So before we jump in, give a little bit of a raise of hands. Don't worry. Nobody's going to be put on the spot if you raise your hand. Just I tend to think of real estate. You've got your beginners, your intermediate, and your advanced. So raise your hand if you're a beginner. Yes, love it. Raise your hand if you're an intermediate. Okay, great. And then raise your hand if you're advanced. Beginners, look at who's got their hands in the air right now. Beautiful. Make sure you talk to those people, meet them. I'm going to start very beginner level. For those of you that are more intermediate and advanced, stick with me. Don't think, I know this already. Think, how could I do this better? Okay? And then for your beginner people, I want to meet you where you are. We're going to get advanced pretty quick. Take what you can, okay? An intermediate, I hope this is right in your sweet spot, okay? Sound good? Here we go. Oh, actually, sorry. I got a joke, too. how does a real estate investor throw a party in space? How does a real estate investor throw a party in space? They plan it. That's a financial planner joke, if you haven't heard it one before. The Benjamin Franklin also has some good things to say about planning. By failing to prepare, you prepare to fail. Planning is all about preparation, strategy, getting your ducks in order. Things are going to change. Ducks are going to duck, you know, move out around, bringing them back, preparing so that we don't hit failure. So that's what I'm all about. We titled this presentation, The Stress-Free Real Estate Empire, How to Create One. Is it even possible to be stress-free in 2024 going into 2025? Here's some old stats, because they haven't asked these questions again in their Stress in America survey. 2022, 87% of Americans said they were stressed due to inflation, up from 56% the last time they had asked it. That's the highest numbers, 65% just being stressed about money, highest number in 6 years, and that was 2 years ago. Stress, you think it's increased in the last 2 years? Absolutely. we don't really need these stats, though, because we all experience this day after day after day. We know friends, we have neighbors who have lost their jobs, had their kids or their parents move in with them, lost their homes, an investment property or their main home. They maybe had to delay their real estate goals because of some medical bills, or quit buying, fill in the blank, right? We look around, we see more and more of the stress to make ends meet and let alone create a better financial future. I call this the epidemic of financial stress. Who wants to get rid of that stress if you've got any in your life, right? You wouldn't be here in this room if you didn't. So let's get rid of it. First of all, you know you're not alone. Not just the people in this room, but thousands, millions of Americans all around are feeling that stress. And then today I'm going to tell you that you can be financially stress-free. We're going to share some time-tested wisdom. Our firm's called Wealth Wisdom Financial. I want to go back to the time-tested wisdom that stood through generations upon generations, not just what's been popular since 1980. So our grandmothers, great-grandmothers, depending on how old you are, and a set-and-forget-it wealth-building vehicle that many of them used. Our grandpas, too. I'm a little more affinity to their grandmas. And some simple but powerful wisdom that's been lost over the last couple generations. So here we go. Got to make sure. Oh, this is the lawyer I'm keeping happy. I'm not giving anybody any individual advice today. I'm not a CPA or an attorney. Not giving you tax or legal advice. And I'm using some trademarks that I'm allowed to use because I have the credentials to use them. And if we haven't met yet, this is me. A little bit about me. Yes, I'm also a real estate investor and a CFP. I do not own any stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. And I feel like for those in the room that might be wondering, I'm 40 years old. So I've got some years behind me. I've grown and sold a business. And that's my little guy. He's 6. He might be here tomorrow. We're trying to decide. If you want to see him tomorrow, let me know afterwards. We might bring him. And here's our team. We got a few here in the room, one still out at the table. If you meet them, they're great to talk to. They can help answer your questions, those kind of things too. It's not just me, but our whole team. Okay, ready to scuba? We're gonna go deep. Not literally, like hopefully nobody's, we have plenty of water out there in the hallway. We don't need any in here, right? Okay, savings versus investing. Yes, those are two different things. Even in my CFP books, they're like, yeah, these are two different things, but we're gonna call investing savings just to make it simpler. You don't save in a 401k, you invest in a 401k. You don't save in real estate, you invest in real estate. Two different things. And there are really only about 4 to 5 places your money can grow. I'm going to put 5 up here, but one is optional. So I like to say 4 or 5 places your money can go. There's 450 different financial products out there, maybe even more. And yet there's, if you boil them down, they all fit into 4 to 5 buckets. There it is. That was supposed to come up little by little. Maybe my clicker advanced it too fast. I love acronyms. Here's the acronym STILL: savings, taxes, investing, liabilities, and lifestyle. Liabilities, obviously a way to say debt and make it fit into the word. Savings is money you can't afford to lose, so you put it somewhere that is very low risk. Taxes are the money you owe to the Internal Revenue Service or to the Department of Revenue in your state, you know, property taxes, all those things. We pay our fair share, but not a penny more, right? Investing is money that you put at risk, that you could lose. We've been told over and over again this phrase, no risk, no reward. You might even hear that some this weekend, right? No risk, no reward. That is a lie. Because what's the definition of risk? You could lose everything, right? What if there are rewards you could get without taking so much risk? And why aren't we talking about those more? We're going to come back to that later. Oh, and then liabilities and lifestyle. Liabilities, debt. We're real estate investors. We smartly leverage debt. We're not anti-debt, right? And then lifestyle is everything else. If it doesn't fit in one of those other 4 buckets, it's lifestyle. So vacations, subscriptions, where you live, your food you eat, the education programs you might participate in, all that's lifestyle. Okay. Oh, I kind of said this out loud already, but there it is on the slide, the difference between savings and taxes, or savings and investing. What you want safe, accessible, that you can get whenever you need, versus money that you put at risk, hoping to gain, but knowing there's no guarantee of gain. So, with that kind of base, savings versus investing, look at these 3 different categories and tell me if you had 100% of your wealth, 100% of your net worth, what percentage would you put in each of those 3 categories? What percentage would you want, can you afford to lose or wait 20 years or more for it to recover? How much would you want relatively safe and liquid capital for medium-term needs? And how much do you want safe and liquid cash reserves? You don't have to worry about it being there, you know it's there. Just in your brains, what percentage would you put in each? It's a very helpful thought exercise. This often changes over the course of someone's lifespan, depending on what age you're at, depending on how the economy is doing. You don't choose one number and stick to it, but choose what you would choose today. What percentage would you put in each of those buckets? So here's what most people do. An upside-down pyramid. They put a lot in the top part, at risk, and very little safe and liquid. It's almost like a spinning top. That could fall down at any moment. No wonder we're so stressed. We're walking around the bottom of that portfolio there, and it could crash on us at any moment. Well, what's the alternative? Building it this way, where you have more safe, able to access, less at high risk, and some good amount in the middle. Right? We have to take some risk, probably, if we want to reach our goals. So there you go. What do you think about that? You ever seen anything like that before? This is how our grandparents built savings. They called it the 10-10-10 savings formula. They take 100% of their income, and 10% of it would go to short-term needs. Holiday gifts are coming. The birthdays. Putting new tires on the car, paying for, you know, that insurance bill that's about to come up. anything that's like within a year or so, short-term needs. 10% they just set aside to make sure that comes up, they got it. 10% for medium term, buying that next car, putting a new roof on the house, being ready to invest and buy a new property, right? You got to save up potentially to buy that if that's you're doing a buy and hold, right? You have to at least have a down payment maybe. Their kids' college, those kind of things. 10% would just go toward medium term. New glasses, if you don't get those every year. And then 10% for long term. That's more the retirement side, right? The longer term. This is my money that I'm hoping not to touch for a long time. And of course, if you're like, holy cow, I can't save 30% of what I make, well, you can start with 1% and build from there, right? Start with 1, move to 2, move to 3, slowly over time, and you'll eventually get to 10. You'll be like, how did I do this? Oh, it was super easy. That's what you want it to feel like. But you guys are real estate investors. You're not going to set aside 30% and never touch it, are you? Right? You set it aside so you can take it out and buy the next property, the cash flow, so you grow your income. It's not your 100% is not going to stay the same. It's going to become larger, right? You're growing your pie, and as you grow your pie, you've got more of the 10% that you can keep putting toward those things and build and build and build. Make that bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Yeah? That's what you're doing. So as you're doing that, how much do you need to keep liquid? How much do you need to keep safe? You're able to access whenever you need it. If the proverbial you know what hits the fan, how much do you need? Well, most people would like, and what is liquidity? We gotta say that first. Money you can get your hands on when you need it, for whatever you need it, without begging or applying for it, without any penalties for accessing it, and no restrictions. It's your money, you can use it when you want. Let's save questions till the end if that's okay. Well, actually, no, go ahead. I said this is interactive. I like interactions.
Last slide, you showed up 30%. What's the other 70% for then?
So some people, 10% might go toward giving, like if you're a generous person, and the rest could be lifestyle. Like that pays your, you know, for your home, for your groceries, for clothes, all the things. Yeah. Of course, taxes are going to be in there too. Can't forget taxes. Great. Thanks. I'm glad I paused. So that's liquidity. How much do you need liquid? Well, and without sustaining a loss. How much cash should you stash? Conventional thinking is 3 to 6 months of household income. But no one in here is conventional, are you? You're a real estate investor. You're above average. You are different. You're not conventional. You have things like business expenses, major repairs or maintenance. That 3 to 6 months of income may not cover those things, right? I have a philosophy. Try this on for size. See how this feels for you. This is what I personally do. I call it the swan philosophy. I want enough liquid cash reserves that I can access when I want, for whatever I want, without penalty, that I can sleep well at night. And I'm not worried. I have no stress. If that thing happens, right, that HVAC system totally goes kaput, I've got enough for it. I'm not worried about that. If I don't make another dime for the rest of the year, I'm not worried about that. If my kid falls and has a broken arm and I've got major medical expenses, I'm not worried about it, right? I want enough that I can sleep well at night. And sometimes you got to just make a list of your worries, write up how much all those worries could cost if they all happened. And you might not be able to cover all of them, but what if you covered half? Could you sleep better at night? Could you have less stress if you kept that money safe, liquid, accessible for whatever you need, whenever you need, without penalty or without risk of loss? Maybe. But then we get to the problem, yeah, but the bank doesn't pay much on savings, right? Like, where am I going to put this money? That's a lot of money. I'm not going to leave it in there in the bank and have it lose money because inflation is real, and they're not even paying what inflation is, right? I'm not going to put it under my mattress because then I'm not even making anything. Where can I put this money? You just told me how much cash to stash, but where do I put this cash? I think that's where we go next. Yeah, where do we stash our savings? So remember, to save means to place money you can't afford to lose in a vehicle that is safe and has guaranteed growth. Now I'm about to show you another pyramid. It's going to be really hard to read this, but I'm going to use my little pointer here to point some things out to you. This is what we call a risk-return pyramid. I just told you the whole no risk, no reward thing is a lie. Take this with a grain of salt. But let's look at where's real estate, for instance, on this pyramid? Well, it's right here. It's in that medium term, right? It's got a little bit of risk, but it's also kind of safe. Gold and collectibles, precious metals up here. Yeah, more risky than real estate, according to this chart up here. You've got some high-grade common stock, maybe some high-grade preferred stock, a money market account, and then what's down here at the base, treasuries, U.S. insured checking and savings accounts, life insurance cash values, U.S. insured certificates of deposits, and, oh, bonds, some nice high-quality bonds, EE bonds. But what are this purple here in the middle, life insurance cash values? We're told life insurance, ew, gross. Why would you ever buy life insurance? And yet it's right there, right in the middle. I didn't make this chart. I stole this off the internet. Made sure I caught, you know, wasn't copyrighted. I could use it. Why would they put life insurance right there in the middle? Insurance companies are greedy and disgusting, aren't they? Right? I'm told buy term, just enough to cover, invest the rest, right? Why would I ever buy life insurance? You guys heard that before? Lots of times. Well, let's look at it. What if you could have a life insurance that's actually liquid money, has a cash value that grows better than those other things that were down there at the bottom of that same pyramid? We call this bank on yourself. It has growth that's historically be even something that was on a higher level on that pyramid, a money market account. It's historically beaten that. It has that liquid, you know, you don't need to sell any of your income-producing assets to access your cash. You can use the money, and it continues to grow as if you didn't touch it. How is that possible? We're going to come back to that. I think I keep clicking one more. I thought there was one more. We got somebody taking a picture of this slide. Love it. I actually love to summarize. It's Friday. I love that today is Friday. This is not, thank God it's Friday, although thank God it's Friday. This is an acronym I love to share about the benefits of banking yourself. Tax favored. The money grows tax free. Your savings account, you get 1099 on it every year, right? That money market account, if you've got any money in there, you have to pay taxes on it every year. Cash value and life insurance has tax advantages, as well as the death benefit goes to the beneficiaries tax free. Oh, I don't mean to click yet. G is for guaranteed growth. Life insurance is a contract. Baked into that contract is a guaranteed increase of the cash value every single year that's contractually obligated to be given to you. We can talk, if you want to hear more about what happens if the life insurance company goes under, that's one of the common questions people ask me. The I is insurance. There's a death benefit that's pennies traded for dollars, right? You're buying something way more than the money you've put in. And then F is for financing. Real estate investors, we're always looking for financing, right? I got to fill out a stack this thick at the bank, or like my mortgage broker, I get to do it all online now, but virtual, but it's still a lot of information. I got to prove my income and, you know, all these things, unless I'm doing DSCR or something, but I'm always looking for financing. Well, what if my long-term savings could become my financing, and yet it still grows for me even while I'm using this? I've worked with a young real estate investor. Actually, it's the perfect time to give away a prize. None of you left when I started talking about life insurance. Thank you. I want to give a prize to the person who is closest to the age of 25 in here. So if you're like 24 to 26, anybody? Anybody? 23 to 27? Anybody? 22 to 28? I saw a hand. anybody under 35? But yeah? Yeah, okay. Oh, wait, hold on. We got some back here. How about 32, 30? Yeah? Okay, this is for you. Thanks for being here. This is a book I wrote. You guys can share, or actually come to the table. We'll give both of you one later. So I had this young woman becoming a real estate investor. We mapped out a financial plan for her, and she had a certain amount she wanted to set aside for her long-term retirement. And she put that into a bank on yourself type life insurance policy, and then was able to borrow from the policy to go do her real estate. She ended up with $100,000 more for her retirement by putting into the policy first before taking it back out. That was a six-figure move for her. Now, it's not going to be true for everybody, But how cool is that, right? That she got, because she never interrupted the compounding. If you heard, so we're here yesterday, we were wearing shirts that say, don't interrupt my compounding. That compounding, because it was never interrupted, ended up giving her six figures more for her own retirement. How cool. I mean, it's projected too. Yeah, she needs to keep working the plan, right? But that's the power of financing. That you can still save for the long term, be responsible, still have that liquidity, but then still be able to use it when and how you want. I put this slide on here because I don't want to cause stress, but maybe a little bit of overwhelm. This is kind of like the cockpit of a pilot. You can see kind of the dash at the top. These are all the levers and dials and buttons that we can push when we're designing Bank on Yourself policies. There's over 20 of them, if you count all the bullet points. There's a lot. This is why every single one of these needs to be custom designed and tailored to the individual and the family, the business that it is designed to benefit. The moral of this slide is that you need to make sure you're working with somebody who's doing a comprehensive analysis so they know which buttons to push and which levers to pull to get you to your goals using this strategy. You can't just work with somebody who talks to you for 15 minutes and thinks they know exactly what policy to give you. Or shows everybody a cookie cutter, same policy over and over again. You got to do this deep dive to get the right policy for you and for your goals. That's kind of a warning. Can't just work with anybody. Got to work with the right people. Vina wanted me to like share about this idea and like put it into my presentation. She's like, nobody has ever done this without being like super salesy. And I was like, well, I could talk about this for hours. How do I like explain this to people in a way that doesn't come across salesy, but also is like gives them information? Well, what you need to do is see numbers. And that takes some time. But we've got this book. You can read chapter 4 of this book. It's got some great numbers in there for people that want to see some numbers before they even talk to somebody. And we also put together numbers for folks that are custom designed for them without any upfront cost or obligation. You can scan this QR code, schedule a call with somebody from me or somebody from my team, and actually we're going to give you a free book. We've got a few here, but also if you bring that to the table, we'll give you that book that I just referenced, The Bank on Yourself Revolution. So afterward, Beat the Rush, we only have the copies we brought with us. So that's how you can see some real numbers, and then chapter 4 of the book, and then we'll put together numbers custom designed for you that are today's numbers, no obligation or upfront cost. And then, okay, if you don't believe me yet, I've got 7 benefits, of liquidity. Liquidity is so important for a lot of reasons. Here's one: lower interest payments. When you're bringing more to the table, you can lower your interest, right, that you pay when you take out a loan. You can also save yourself from a lot of debt by having your own money for, you know, things when, you know, the tires blow, you know, to go into debt to get new tires or a new car. A cushion for variable income. I've lived with variable income for, 13 years now. And I am so thankful that I have a Bank on Yourself type policy, and I have for 11 years. Those first 2 years were really rough. And my policy has gotten me through some really bad times without a lot of stress and without losing sleep at night. Lower insurance premiums. I love that I get to pay my mortgage insurance or like my home insurance once a year, and I negotiate with my insurance company to give me a discount for giving them all the money at once. I borrow from my policy to pay them. I don't use escrow. It's a beautiful thing because then my money is growing for me. My escrow doesn't pay me interest, right? My policy pays me interest. I can borrow from my policy to pay my homeowner's insurance and my property taxes, right? And. Gives me a huge sense of control. Liquidity is all about control. You ever heard the golden rule? She who has the gold makes the rules, right? When I bring my own money to the table, you better believe I've got way more control over the negotiations than if I'm bringing somebody else's money. Not that other OPM, yes, use that, but if I got my own skin in the game, I'm gonna get way more control in that deal, right? And of course, it is fuel. Deal after deal after deal, you get fuel to pour into those. Liquidity is great that way. Also, increased options, right? I can choose to pay things annually versus monthly, like I shared before. But also, like, okay, Here's a great example. One of my mentors, he's an amazing man. He saved up $1 million of liquidity in multiple whole life insurance policies from the 80s, 90s, and into the 2000s. He had just $1 million sitting there in cash value. What a waste. Why did he ever do that? Well, guess what then happened in 2007, 2008? Real estate went on sale, and nobody had any money to buy it. And guess what he did? He took that $1 million, he went and bought a whole bunch of real estate. He's now since sold, he did it with his brother. His brother has bought him out of all of the holdings for $3 million. When can you turn $1 million into $3 million? When you have liquidity and nobody else does, and the banks aren't lending. That's how powerful this stuff can be. Oh, the ability to take care of advantage of opportunity. So more options, more opportunity. Liquidity is not just setting money aside that you don't get to touch, that never grows. If you're using it for these things, because we all know life happens. We have bumper stickers that reminds us life happens, right? This is when liquidity is makes or breaks people, right? People go bankrupt when some of this stuff happens if they don't have liquidity. So which one of these do you want more of ASAP, and which one, if you're able to cover this, helps you sleep better at night, helps you have less stress, not worry so much about what's going to happen tomorrow or on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, whenever your results, right? So now we're ready to level up, okay? If you're with me so far, now we get to talk about some advanced things, okay? So if you've been like, oh yeah, I know this already, this is your chance, okay? Who's ready to upgrade their real estate to the next level? Ready? Yeah, we're talking about empire building here, people, right? What if you could unlock financial stability and growth in your real estate business? Would you want a tried and true way to ensure that you have liquidity no matter the ups and downs of what's going to happen in real estate for the next 10, 20 years? What if you knew, like, even if my property values are cut in half, I'm going to have plenty of liquidity? Even if all those deals I want to do over the next 5 years, none of them pan out, I'm going to have plenty of liquidity. Even if I can have liquidity, whatever you're worried about. Well, this is where, if you saw Simple CFO, do you guys see them, one of their vendors? We love them. They're good friends of ours. They're very picky who they work with for good reason, because they are the cat's meow. They're great. We also are Profit First professionals, certified. We love the Profit First system. It's a great way to manage your cash flow based on percentages to make sure you're setting aside profit first, not last. Because we're humans. What we do first gets done. What we do last gets forgotten. If you've made a to-do list, you get the first few things done on your to-do list, you never get to the things at the bottom of your to-do list. If you put profit last in your real estate business, you're never going to have profit. Or it's going to be very rare, and it's going to be a party rather than a habit. Profit first is about making profit a habit, not an event. So this is how it works. You set aside profit first. Then you pay yourself a salary. Now, even if you don't need a salary, paying yourself something gets you in the habit and the system of doing it. Because you can always turn right back and reinvest it in the business, but at least paying yourself something. Make sure you set aside the money for Uncle Sam. He's going to want his cut. Who's gotten a tax bill that weren't prepared for. You know how important this is, especially because the IRS will charge you all the interest and fees up front, not throughout the loan. So you need to be able to pay Uncle Sam when it comes time. And then and only then do you pay your operating expenses. Now, you might say, well, if I'm doing buy and hold, I've got mortgage, insurance, taxes, I need to do those up front, maybe even my property manager. This is after paying those things. So it's based on your real revenue, not your gross revenue. So you have gross revenue, you pay all those materials, subcontractors, right? And then you have your real revenue, and then from your real revenue, you pay all these things. This is a simple but powerful shift that can transform your real estate and investing business from merely surviving to consistently thriving, no matter what happens. I have been in business a long time. I've seen my business go from 100% to 50% the next year, and yet I still had profit because of this system. We love talking to people about this system and how it integrates with cash value life insurance, bank on yourself, because they play so friendly together. I'm actually going to talk about this a little bit more in my breakfast talk tomorrow, so plug there. So, but how could you combine bank on yourself and profit first? We actually are, we have something called the Profit Planning Network. I'm a financial planner. I have a life insurance license, but if you try to call me a life insurance agent, I'm going to punch you in the face. No, I wouldn't really. I'm a pacifist, but that's how I'll feel a little bit. I'm a planner. I want people to plan their cash flow, plan their profit, plan their future in a way that puts them in the driver's seat. Business owner-focused solutions, not planner-focused solutions, or not what's going to make me the biggest commission-focused solutions, those kind of things. So we have this Profit Planning Network. It's a comprehensive program designed to help real estate investors implement profit or proven financial strategies, including profit first, advanced liquidity management, often through life insurance, strategic tax planning. You can't ignore taxes in all of this, especially over the long term, and then long-term wealth building. How do you make sure everything builds into your personal wealth rather than distracts from it? That's when, you even go to some of those greats that we look up to from the 1980s that filed bankruptcy multiple times, is because their personal wealth suffered to grow their business rather than both growing together. That's what I want for my future. I want, as my business does well, my personal wealth does well, and as my personal wealth does well, my business wealth does well, and they play well together rather than competing for my time and attention and causing me a lot of stress, right? That's where a lot of stress comes from. So we feel like we're juggling balls rather than building a pyramid, right? Building something that's stable and solid. So that's what the Profit Planning Network's all about. But wait, there's more. I have to throw that in there. Here we go. I get this question more than any other question. How do I know if I'm doing it right? How do I know if I'm doing it? You ever wonder that? How do you know if you're doing it right? How do you know if you're saving enough? How do you know if you're paying the right amount of taxes? How do you know if you're investing enough to help everything grow, but also not lose too much? How do you know if you're taking on the right amount of debt and have the right liabilities? How do you know if you're living enough lifestyle and not starving your present self to benefit your future self when nobody's guaranteed tomorrow? How do I know if I'm doing any of this right? So remember that still, I kind of just went through it again, like all those things, right? How do I know if I'm setting aside enough contingency funds that when the next tenant destroys my place, I can, repair it and get it ready for the next tenant, or all those things? Well, still, we call this the still framework. We also have something we call the still method. And it's not just about categories, it's a method. And this is my proprietary information. That book that I just gave out goes over the still method and what it's all about. Here it is, the still method. S is set your sights. If you don't know where you're going, you end up somewhere else, right? Was it Yogi Berra that said that? If you don't know where you're going, you end up somewhere else. Where are you going? What are you looking forward to? What do you want to see in your future? What's that mountain you want to climb? How many properties do you want? What kind of cash flow do you want? Do you know where you're going? Have you set your sights? And then track your in and out. What's been coming in to my life recently? What's been going out of my life recently? How much has come into my bank accounts? How much went out of my bank accounts? Some people call this budgeting. This does not have to be budgeting. Budgeting is restrictive. It's like, I'm going to forecast what I'm going to do for the next year and set my, how much I can spend every month for the next 12 months. This is not it. It's just noticing, hey, this is how much I spent out recently, right? Just noticing, okay? Then inspect your progress. Has my in and out recently gotten me closer or farther from where I want to go? This is when you look at where your sights are set and you look at what's actually happened in the last week or two or month and you say, Am I on the right track? How am I progressing? Am I getting farther away or closer to where I want to go? Because let's say my sights is, over that way, and I've been walking this way. It's a lot easier to make an adjustment here to get closer to the back of the room over there. Then I'm walking, and I get way far over here, and I have to do a much bigger pivot right, to get to where I want to go. So this is something we do iteratively over and over again, and that's when we look for the micro adjustment. What's that small tweak I can make to get closer to where I really want to go? Not a huge big change, but a small change, a 1% change. Like we talked about with, if you're, you know, the 10, 10, 10 savings formula, start with 1%, right? That could be your 1%. If you're at 10, well, okay, what could I change to make that 10 work even better, right? What's that small adjustment I can make? And then finally, live deliberately. Actually put it into action. Try out that 1% adjustment. Try out that micro adjustment. See what happens. See where it goes. Especially if you're only changing a little bit at a time, you're going to get feedback. And you'll be like, yeah, that was great. I'm going to do more of that. Or, yeah, that wasn't so great, but I didn't ruin anything. I can try a different 1% adjustment, right? This is how real change happens, by the way. Think about fitness. If you're trying to get healthy, you might be like, they told me I need to run 20 minutes a week, or like get my heart rate up 20 minutes three times a week. That's how I'm going to have heart health, right? You can't just go out and start running 20 minutes three times a week. Most people can't, right? From if they've been a couch potato for a long time. And they actually did this study. They had three groups of people because they had the control group. But the main group, they said, go run three times a week for 20 minutes a time. The second group, they said, first week, we want you to stand for 10 minutes in front of your TV. Really? Are you serious? Stand for 10 minutes in front of my TV? Yeah, that's what we need to do. And then the next week, now walk in place during those 10 minutes. Right? Don't just stand there, walk in place. Who do you think by the end of the study was actually running three times a week for 20 minutes? The second group. The one that started with a small adjustment and worked the way up to it. That's how real lasting change happens, and that also gives you a much better sense of control that fights against anxiety and stress. Because you hit the easy button, you got that, you crossed it off your list, oh yeah, now I'm confident in myself, I'm less stressed. Okay, oh, there's 5 smooth stones, that's the book. Okay, so now we've got banking yourself, plus profit first, so life-saving liquidity, plus liquidity, no matter the ups and downs of what you go through, right? With profit first, you're creating liquidity. Plus the still method, the 5 steps you can go through anytime, no matter what season you're in, to see, okay, what's that next little move I need to make to get me closer to where I want to go? All of that, put them together, that's what I define as a financially stress-free real estate empire. You could do this with 10 doors or 10,000 doors. You could do that, you know, just like the scientific method, an elementary school kid can do their science fair project with that, or a rocket scientist uses the scientific method. That's what these are. These grow and flex and adjust to where people are starting from and where they want to go. I said I've been using Bank on Yourself for 11 years now. I make 10 times more now than I did 11 years ago, roughly. And it still flexes with me, right? Profit first, we started to 2016 was when I first heard about it, so 8 years ago. My business is way bigger than it was, and my costs are way lower because I used to own a retail business. You can just imagine the overhead with that one. And it still works, right? Retail versus, you know, service-based business works for real estate too because I use it in my real estate business. And the still method is something my husband and I, we developed ourselves. We've been using probably throughout our whole marriage. We just didn't know how to teach other people. And we're like, what if we shared this to someone? How could we explain it to them in a way that you could like write on the back of a napkin? You could learn in a minute, but you could master over a lifetime. That's still method. And we use all 3. We love teaching people about all 3, helping them implement all 3 so that they can have that financial future that they deserve and that they want without any stress along the way. Or with as little stress along the way as possible. So if you want to, you've got questions about banking yourself, you have questions about profit first and how it works, you want to learn more about still, you want to discuss the profit planning network, you scan that QR code, you schedule a call. We've got 2 gifts we're going to send you next week by email. They're both in 1 email as a thank you for scheduling that. And today you can pick up the book as a gift as long as we don't run out. So what you're going to do is schedule that call, go visit our vendor booth. It's on the other side of the main area. Like there's registration on one side, our vendor booth's on the other. and we'll get you that book there. Today's presentation is based on chapter 6. The first part of that was chapter 6. The rest of it was all Amanda Neely. So I think we've got a few minutes left. We can do some Q&A now. I'm just going to leave that. Actually, I'll show you the Q&A slide because we want to show all slides. Thanks to Amy from my team for putting this together. Okay. Oh, do we want to bring around microphones so everybody can hear the question? It might not be. Oh, there it is. I'm going to take a sip of coffee. Am I to turn it on?
Test.
I know we could talk for hours and hours about this. I'm going to limit Q&A to 16 minutes. Give you guys a nice half hour, visit the vendors. Right over here, we got a question. Sorry. Yep.
The thing about the whole life insurance, like what you said, is that what they call infinite banking? Or?
Oh, so this is something I could also talk about for hours. Let me tell you a quick story, and then we can talk more about it.
I sort of have a part two on that.
Okay.
Because I've been, a few life insurance salesmen have tried to explain it to me, and I just didn't, mm-hmm. I just didn't really get it. But like, I'm 65, and I've got no dependents. I've got all my assets in real estate. Is that a benefit to me? Because it seems as though when I was talking to them, they're selling me something that I'm never going to need or use.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you had that experience. On behalf of life insurance, licensed people everywhere, my apologies to you. This people can get really salesy at times, and that really frustrates me. I'm sorry that you had that experience. Let me tell you a quick story, actually two quick stories. So Nelson Nash was the one that coined that term infinite banking back in like 1979, 1980. He was amazing. He had great stories. He was, you know, a Southern gentleman, right? Very, very wise. He went around just telling everybody about infinite banking, you know, presenting about it. And it was great. Like, lots of people totally transformed how they look at life insurance based on what he said and shared in those seminars. But he never followed up to make sure they were doing it right. Like, he had his own clients. He was too busy. Like, he had enough to do. And so along comes this woman, Pamela Yellen. You'll actually see her name right there. In the 1990s, she was a trainer of financial professionals. That's what she did. She went around, she trained financial professionals how to do their jobs better. And she hired the best financial experts in the country to manage her money for her, and they all lost her money. She was super furious. And then she heard about infinite banking. She's like, ooh, this sounds like what I've been looking for and not been able to find. And so she got a policy, she had it for a while, and then it did what she did not want it to do. And it went totally the wrong way. She got really mad, and she started asking, why did this happen? Well, it's because the guy wasn't fully trained. There was no accountability for him, and she was like, I train financial professionals. I know some pretty great insurance people. What if I created a training program? And so she did it, and to make it different from infinite banking, she calls it Bank on Yourself. Nelson would come to the Bank on Yourself conferences before he passed away a couple years ago, 5-6 years ago now. We're friends. We love each other. You might meet some other infinite banking people here at this conference. We love them. They're great. They're not our competition. They're our friends. They just have a different business model than we do. I'm a planner first. I introduce life insurance to people when it makes sense for them, right? So that's the first story. The second story is my mom's given me permission to share this. I told you I started my first policies about 11 years ago. My dad passed away about 10 years ago, and my mom was lost. She needed financial allies because my dad was the one that always managed the money. So I introduced her to my financial planner. His name's Mark. He's amazing. And he sat down with her and helped walk her through things. She's 75 now. She was 65 then. She'd already had a major stroke that left her unable to do any kind of work. She was retired. She makes an Ohio pension. You can imagine how small that is, an Ohio State pension. And she had a little bit of savings. And he walked with her through, and she started what we call Bank on Yourself for Seniors. There's a chapter in this book called Bank on Yourself for Seniors type policy. And I hope she never has to use it, but she bought it for very one important reason. It has something called an accelerated death benefit rider, which is a fancy way of saying She gets to advance the death benefit if she needs money to pay for long-term care or to have somebody come and take care of her at home or to take her trip around the world or throw a big party, whatever she wants to do with it. And then I, like me and my brothers and sisters, we just get less of a death benefit later. And that's the only reason she bought that policy, so that she didn't have to pull me out of work or pull one of my sisters out of work, or, you know, something like that, to help take care of her. She didn't have to drain her savings. She didn't have to, you know, go through all these things to pay for that care if she needs it. And yet if she doesn't need it, there's still a big death benefit for the rest of us, and she didn't pay a dime for it, right? So it's something to look into for people that are like, I'm too old for life insurance. This banking yourself for seniors. Get the book, read the chapter, let me know what questions you have about it. I gave the book away to somebody younger because it's meant, like, I'm 40, but I'm a millennial. There's not a lot of people talking about this. Like, Pamela's a boomer. Nelson was a greatest generation. I took that concept, and that's what that book's about. So, yes.
Could you kind of quickly compare and contrast banking yourself versus infinite banking then? I mean, if there are structural differences, what are they?
Yeah, I'll use an example here. So let's say you go to the grocery store and you're gonna buy bananas. And you see there's two types of bananas. One says all natural and the other one says USDA organic. You know the USDA organic, there's a whole checkbox. Actually, let me go back some slides. Let's find this. Where'd that go? This one. A whole list of things that they have to cover to make sure it's USDA organic, all these check boxes they have to check off for those bananas to get that seal. All natural, yeah, bananas. What bananas aren't all natural? They hope you're not pumping chemicals into those, right? That, to me, that's the difference between infinite banking and banking yourself. Nelson taught lots of people how to do infinite banking. You can meet two people, and they might do it totally different. But if you work with a banking yourself professional, they have all these check boxes to go through. They have the training and the accountability to make sure they do it right so it doesn't screw up like Pamela's policy screwed up. And that's more like USDA organic. I might be a little biased. When I first heard about this concept, I worked with a bank and yourself professional, and I am a bank and yourself professional. Pamela's one of my mentors.
Can I add something?
Yeah, Brandon wants to add something.
So, I'm both infinite banking and bank and yourself professional. I can yell.
He has both certifications.
So I have both certifications. What I like about the bank and yourself credential is somebody is checking my work and we're looking at persistency. So a lot of policies may be set up, right? And they set up it, but they can only fund it for 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, right? Persistency means how soon to being you, like death, you wanna have persistency when you need it. And so somebody is checking my work and making sure that the business, you as a client, we're keeping up with you every 6 months to a year, not just saying, here, go buy it and we'll never talk to you again. But having that relationship and persistency is really, really important. Because a policy, life insurance, is best, you know, it's meant for when you, in the end, pass away, right? So.
Or if you need it for advanced.
Yeah.
Advanced, I thought. Do I see a hand over here too? Yeah, do you have your hand up? No, okay. I see one in the toward the back, making Christy walk a lot.
Hi, quick question. You mentioned about never stopping the accrual of the interest.
The compounding.
Compounding each year, but you can borrow from that. Can you expand on that?
Oh, I have a great video I'd love to send to you where I walk through an example with, like, I sketch it all out. It's very beautiful, if I do say so myself. The cool thing, so you know how I said, like, life insurance or like, just insurance companies? Like, nobody really wants to work with an insurance company, right? They're kind of, Well, with Bank on Yourself, you work with a mutual life insurance company, meaning it's owned by the policyholders, okay? So the policyholders are the owners of the company. Now, if you have a company, I hope you do, an LLC, something like that, if you want to borrow money from your LLC, you don't interrupt the growth of your LLC by doing that, right? It's still going to grow, right? Still going to make money, still going to do things. And you get to set all the terms for how much you repay it. And if you have a business partner, they're going to make you pay some interest back on that because it just helps the business. You benefit from it long term. That's what you're doing as an owner of a mutual life insurance company. They operate for the benefit of the policyholders. There's no stockholders. There's no private family that owns it. They're operating for your benefit, which is like that takes a little bit of the stink of it being insurance. But it also gives you the ability to borrow against the general fund of the policy based on the equity that you have in the company, right, based on your policy. But you don't actually borrow your own policy. So you're like your cash value. That still grows as if you didn't touch it because you didn't touch it. And what I do in this video, I'd love to send it to you. So when you schedule your discovery call, say, send me the video. I'll send it to you. It walks through a real example of if you got $50,000, you take a $50,000 loan, how that $50,000 grows, how much you pay it back with interest, how it all works. So, and I've got more examples in lots of, we have a great YouTube channel, Wealthism Financial, everybody should subscribe to. We have a lot of great just educational mindset examples, all kinds of stuff like that on there. How about a question not about life insurance? Anybody? Bueller? I do encourage you, if you want to see more about how banking yourself and profit first work for estate planning, tomorrow's your day, morning, 8:30. We're thinking about getting, anybody know Holtman's Donuts? Anybody know, local? We're going to pick some up in the morning and have them here at 8:30, this room. Join me back. I just surprised him with that an hour ago. We're going to pick up some Holtman's. I'm gluten-free, so I won't eat them, but you're welcome to. We got a question in the front here. Belinda. She's a name tag.
How long did it take you to implement the Profit First? And did you do all of those different bank accounts and all of that?
Yeah. So this is one of the big struggles. When you hear about Profit First, and if you read the book, it takes most people a whole year to implement, and it's really slow. When I first heard about it, I heard about it on a podcast. Actually, I heard Mike Michalowicz, the author of Profit First, on a podcast. And he just said on the podcast, like, you pay yourself first rather than last. So I was like, oh, I could do that. This is with our former business, the retail business. And so we started paying ourselves the first of the month rather than the end of the month, right? And we figured out how to just run OpEx from there. And that's all we did. We didn't open any of the bank accounts. We didn't do anything. We just paid ourselves the first. So we had a talk with our employees, and we said, hey, we need to save some operating expenses, so less waste, more sales, right? Like offer, you know, try to do better. And we never missed a payment, right? Like we were able to pay all of our OpEx. It was like proof, like even that little bit, this works. And then Mike had a podcast, and on the podcast back in 2018, he was offering to give the book for free to anybody who left a review on the podcast. And Brandon's like, Christmas idea. And he left a review, got the book for me for free, wrapped it up, put it under the Christmas tree. I unwrap it Christmas morning. I had devoured the book by New Year's Day. It was so good. I was so enthralled. I was like, I can't believe I wasn't doing this earlier. And then we went and opened the bank accounts. We did all the things. We were full on Profit First starting January 1st, 2019. And it didn't take that much time to implement it. But it took 3 years of doing it, you know, very simply, very easily. You know, like, that was good. Obviously, full-on implementation's the best, but do good, right? Like, you don't have to do best. You have to do, you know, progress is better than perfection, right? We have a shortcut where we help people implement Profit First in 12 weeks or 12 days, depending on how fast they want to go. So, we could talk more about that, too.
And Mike's a banker
himself. Oh, yeah. Mike finally said on a podcast this year, he uses Bank on Yourself. Mike Michalowicz, the author of Profit First. Mark, my financial planner, asked him on a podcast point blank, what do you do with all that money that's sitting in these bank accounts not growing? It's like, what do you think about putting that into whole life insurance? And Mike's like, I don't just love that, I do that. Beautiful thing. We got time for one more question. I know y'all are going to come up to me individually later. This is a chance to help somebody else with a question. Our office is close to Lunkin Airport in Cincinnati, but we work virtually with people in 48 states. I counted them today, 48 states. Yeah, Belinda's in Illinois. I think our furthest client's Hawaii. We don't currently don't work with anybody in North Dakota or Wyoming. So if you're in North Dakota or Wyoming, you could help us get to 49 and 50. We cover all 50 states. Okay. Or not. Okay, don't forget, bring your confirmation of the discovery call that you scheduled to our booth and claim your free book. If you haven't scheduled it yet, it's no obligation, 15 minutes. You're going to think of a question later today or tomorrow or on your way home. This is your chance to ask that question. That's really what it's here for.
And take a selfie.
And we're really bad at sales, aren't we, Christy? We're really bad at sales. Thank you all for coming. Yeah.